What I want to try and share with you a little bit this morning is about the presence and abundance. And I've probably got a lot to say, but you know, this house is a place that loves the presence of God. And I actually realized this morning, your 3 points yesterday, Steve, are just Moses. The next generation, buildings, and worship. That's just what he did. It worked out all right. It's going to be good. But I've just found myself just thinking about the presence. You know, it's not rare. Presence isn't rare, but it is priceless. Can't be bought, but it's been paid for. It's everywhere, but can be overlooked. It's life-changing, but can be forgotten. Presence. Presence of God that we experience. But it's a verse that I found myself, I'm on a journey that I don't normally do, but I ended up buying a new Bible, and I decided that because it was a new Bible, and I bought it for a reason, because I was writing a book, which is out on November the 5th. It's called Divine Encounters. And I wrote a Bible just so that I had a fresh margin to write in as I studied for what I was writing. And then I looked at my Bible one day and thought, well, I haven't read this Bible. So I need to read this Bible. I need to make sure that every page of this Bible has been turned. So I'm doing what I don't always do, which is read cover to cover. And I read one of those verses you can easily overlook, Joshua 8, verse 34. And it's talking about Joshua. Then afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. Why did that strike me as important? Because he's reading to a people who weren't there on the journey with Moses. And they needed to know. And somehow I'm going to try and paint a picture that we need to understand the journey. Because experiencing the presence like we get to do here hasn't always been this way. Imagine the people that are now with Joshua. They didn't travel the journey from slavery when a crazy guy called Moses suddenly turns up after 40 years looking after his father-in-law's sheep, who had a criminal record because he'd killed an Egyptian. And he shows up, and the people of Israel are in slavery in Egypt, and they are stacking bricks and gathering straw, and a crazy guy called Moses shows up who's had a chat with a burning bush. And he has this crazy idea of going to Pharaoh and saying, "Let my people go." And there's a whole group of people who traveled that journey with Moses from there through the plagues, the showdown with the magicians of Egypt, of the plagues, to the night on the edge of the Red Sea, where Moses held up his rod and the waters parted, and they pass through and they find themselves in the wilderness. Imagine the wilderness, nothing. And basically, I looked it up quickly, there is more than the population of Leicester there in a wilderness with nothing, except they plundered some stuff from the Egyptians. I think they took their kneading bowls with them, which, as somebody who makes sourdough, I understand how important that is. You don't want your starter to die. You need to keep it alive. And if you don't understand sourdough, I apologize, but you probably like eating it. They're there in the wilderness. They've got nothing. And these people that now with Joshua in the promised land need to understand the journey that got them, because otherwise they will become so familiar with the Ark of the Covenant and the presence of God that they need to understand the price that was paid to get to where they are. And to understand the value of the presence of God. I was just thinking, just this one moment in that story, there's no water. Imagine for a minute, Leicester's flattened, there's nothing here, there's no water, but the whole population is still here, and there's no water. Imagine the moment that Moses hits the rock, the water comes out, and all the people drink, and all the animals get water at that moment. I was just trying to work out what that would have looked like. Like chaos. Ever been in a crowd when, the gates open and, these days the management of huge crowds and avoiding crush injury and all that kind of stuff, but there didn't seem to be any problems. They just all got a drink. And that journey then continues, and there in the wilderness, Moses is going up the mountain that's, shaking. Tim would say rock and rolling, but that kind of, there's a whole lot going on. They travel that journey. They're there. They're watching the Ark of the Covenant be built. They're watching the curtains be made. We read it so quickly and we miss. They watched it. They watched the offerings. They watched the manna from heaven, the water out of the rock. They had the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. They watched Bezalel gather the team, gather the silver, the gold, the linens, the four colors, everything. They watched that being built, constructed. They watched it being dedicated. They saw all of that. That people saw it, but the people now who are with Joshua, who are listening to instructions, could easily take for granted the instructions. Don't touch the ark. It's just a box covered in gold. No. You don't understand it. You don't understand the price that was paid to get there. There's this whole journey that takes that people to the place that they're now in the promised land, co-laboring with God, winning victory after victory after victory, and the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, is with them. And really, my point this morning is that we make sure that we value what we have, and we value the journey that got us here. There are other journeys. There's Steve's journey. Steve, who didn't always have this band going around him and a stack of speakers on either side and screens behind and amazing artists and creatives who do artwork and stuff like that, who are creating this place, this tabernacle for the presence of God. Because once he was wandering along the streets of Southend and he met a young woman who was busking under a bridge, as I understand it. And I believe he led her to the Lord and then said, "You're going to be the worship leader in my church." And he didn't even have a church at the time. And they were meeting in a pub, I think, or a bar. And what you have today is because a man and his wife paid a price for the presence. That it hasn't always been like this, and we can come in here and we maybe could take it for granted, but it's good for us that we know, as Joshua did to the people, this is the story that got us here. In the presence of God, the privilege of the presence of God. Or perhaps more globally, more corporately, 507 years ago, Martin Luther nailed his theses to that door. But for me, the thing that he did the most, that I loved the most, is he said of one of his three great statements, the priesthood of all believers. And what was he saying? He was saying, it needs to stop. What's happening needs to stop. We've got a priest up here, a choir up here, that are leading in a language that the people don't understand. It has to stop. And Martin Luther, for me, his great gift to all of us was that he changed it. He wrote 42 great hymns. We would not have the songs we sung today if it hadn't been for Martin Luther, who said, this has to stop. He wrote the 42 hymns, and we have that progression from there where he paid a price right the way through. I joke about it, but you know, some of us in here are of the generation that we were in churches that had hymn books and we had to fight to get an overhead projector with the words written on it to project up onto the screen. To move us forward into this place we're in today. My wife and I were radicals in our church because at our wedding we had a hymn that wasn't in the hymn book. Really, that was radical then. Like, do you really need to do that? Yeah, we do. Because we had to sing, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the thy hands have made. I see the stars, see the mighty one. O Lord my God, how great thou art." We had to have that. It was just a little thing. But there are a million little things that people have done who paid the price to push us forward, to push us to this place today. We sang today, "So will I." I know where I was, time, date, and place. I was very privileged. I happened to be in Los Angeles at Heaven Come. And Brooke was, I had no clue who Brooke Lydergood was at that moment in time. It's just this woman who stood on a stage and began to sing this. I had Lou Engle behind me. He's freaking out. I mean, literally, he's freaking out at every lyric. He's going, "The lyrics, that." And we keep pushing forward. That room there, it was expensive. It was extravagant. The lights, the whole show. And people can end up criticizing the lights and the show and all of that. But we've been pushing forward. People have been willing to pay a price so that we get to this place where we can experience the presence of God and be trained in His presence. And not only that, but to take the presence with us. And our journey to being able to experience and value the presence that many have made. Technologically, of course, it hasn't always been this way either. You know, I'm a vinyl generation. The first time round, I know there's another generation that are vinyl the second time round. So I joined them, I'm back, I got my vinyl. But you know, I mean, we couldn't go to a meeting like this. You come along here the first time and you sing "Beautiful Face" and you think, "Oh, I want to listen to that on the way home." You can do it. We couldn't. We'd go to an Andre Crouch concert like Sue and I did every year. And we'd buy the vinyl, but there was no record player in our car that we could put it on. We had to get home and record it on a cassette and then put it in our cassette player that we'd bolted on the bottom of the dashboard of our car, trying to make it work, and half the time it didn't, it felt like to me, and we might just about be able to carry that sound, that song with us and sing in our cars, although Sue's not too keen on me singing too loud in the car with her. I do a lot of that when she's not there. See, where we are today, we must not take for granted the fact that now we can stick our iPhone or whatever smartphone you have in your back pocket, put your earbuds in, and if you pay the right subscription, you can listen to every song that's ever been recorded. And you can take the presence with you. It's the price. And of course, the ultimate price was paid by Jesus. I was thinking this morning, and it's always dangerous when you preach Christ because you think, maybe I need to say a couple of things about something else, and then you look at the clock and think, maybe I shouldn't. But I was thinking, you know, there's always a lot of criticism about Mary. I'm so glad she's in the Bible. We need Mary in the Bible. We need to know her story, not to worship her, to know the price she paid. The price that she paid to carry the Son of God. What a price that she was willing to pay, the criticism that she and Joseph undertook. Another example of the price that was paid, and of course the price that Jesus paid, that on the cross, he made it possible for our bodies to be cleansed, just like the temple and the tabernacle were cleansed in the Old Testament, that this temple of the living God was cleansed and prepared by the precious blood of Jesus Christ so that we could carry the presence of God with us everywhere. My point is the presence, the experience of the presence, the love of the presence, the value of the presence came at a price. the price that the people of Israel paid, the price that our forefathers have paid, the price that Stephen, Juliet, and others have paid, and of course, the price that our Lord Jesus Christ paid so that we could be filled with the presence. That the people of Israel had the presence of God. The disciples that walked with Jesus had the very presence of Jesus. But we have the presence, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And we can enjoy and experience His presence, His manifest presence when we gather together. The presence. What a privilege. And in the presence, I think we're just beginning to scratch the surface of the beauty of being in the presence. I look at particularly the people of Israel and I look and see how they were led by the presence. You see, if you don't know where to go or when to get up and to move, follow the presence. Follow the cloud by day, the fire by night. I love Bill's phrase. I don't know anyone else that said it before him. They probably did, but God shows up in the opposite of circumstances. The cloud by day when it was hot, the fire by night when it was cold. If you're looking for direction, get in the presence. Or Joshua, they're fighting a battle, the people of Ai, he's troubled. What does he do? Face down by the ark, the presence. Or when the people had not been that way before, what does he say? Follow the presence. Don't touch it, but follow the presence. Follow the ark, follow the presence. Or if you need rest, which isn't rest of doing nothing, but that sense of knowing that you're in your purpose, because Moses did not enter into rest, it says. He didn't enter into the promised land. And of Joshua, it said, there was a greater rest yet to come. Where do you find it? In the presence. Whatever your circumstance today, the presence, getting in the presence, experiencing the presence, whether it's in here or in your car, plugging in your phone and listening again to that great song, Beautiful Face, and going, there's no reason why I can't be healed as I walk down the streets of Leicester. It doesn't just have to happen here because you're being trained here in the presence, just like Joshua was trained in the presence to take the people into the promised land. The presence, I'm just scratching the surface, but the presence, the value of the presence. What if we became a people defined by the presence? And of course, the Ark of the Covenant, what did it contain? It represents the presence of God. And of course, back then, it was in the Holy of Holies. If you touched it, you died. Today, we carry the presence with us. We're filled with the presence of God. What a journey the human race has gone on that we couldn't even be in the Holy of Holies, and now the Holy of Holies is in us. But the ark, it's symbolic. Whatever your circumstance today, get in the presence, and the ark is this great picture because it contains the rod that buds, the symbol of the power of God. The presence will lead us to the power of God. If you need the power of God in your life, the presence will lead you there. If you need provision, it's symbolic, the jar, the manna, the provision, it's in the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the story, as it were, of God's work on earth. If you need provision, get in front of the ark, get in the presence. The power's there, the provision's there, and the principles. Because the Ten Commandments are in there. They're the principles. They've been reduced, I think. I'm troubled at times when we have these arguments. Oh, let's get the Ten Commandments on the, you know, stuck up on the walls. I get it. Because they represent that our institutions were so often founded by Judeo-Christian principles, and we need that. But when we reduce it to the Ten Commandments, we reduce it to thou shalt not, instead of realizing that they were written so that we would always be able to step into abundance. Because when you break the commandments, it takes you to lack. But when you live obedient to them, it takes you to abundance. You see, the presence will always lead us to abundance. Always. The presence of God will always lead us to abundance, to breakthrough, to being trained. And really, all I have to say is, let's make sure we value the presence of God. Let's not take for granted the journey, the journey the people of Israel went on, the journey from Mary's womb to the birth of Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection and his cleansing us so that we could become the Holy of Holies. Let's not take for granted the journey of the church has been on that has brought us to this place where we can freely worship. I mean, Sue was in a little worship group in a church once that they risked it all to raise a hand in worship. I'm not even joking. It hasn't always been this way. Maybe I sound like an old guy going, hey, look, we didn't always have this. Don't waste it. But please don't waste it. Don't waste it. What got us here has come at a price. But I believe the Lord's looking for those that will pay a price again. That we'll never overlook the presence. We'll never forget the change in our lives that the presence of God has brought into our lives. And I'll invite you to stand, and Tim's going to come and help me close in a moment, but I'd like you to stand. I think, first of all, I just would like to ask you, and I'm with you, to repent if in any way you've taken for granted the privilege of the presence of God in us, in our lives, in our church, that you would just tell him you're sorry, that you're going to change. You can access the privilege of the presence here, in your car, in your home. There's not many days in our house that a record doesn't go on because we've got vinyl in the kitchen, but it's beautiful. The worship, the words, forgive us, Lord, that we have taken your presence for granted, that we've overlooked the price that you paid, that our ancestors have paid, that it hasn't always been this way. We're thankful. We're grateful. But I also believe there's some of you, and you got struggles and troubles, just like Joshua had in his battle with Ai. Maybe you want to come forward. I know we'll close in worship, but maybe you want to come forward and say, this time of trouble, I'm going to get in the presence. If that's you, if you're fighting something right now, if you've got a battle going on, maybe it's a legal battle going on, maybe it's a financial battle. If that's you, just come to the front. Come to the front and get face down in the presence and say, I know, in your presence. If you're looking for direction, come stand in the presence. If this is a season, I need to know where to go, get in the presence again. If you're on a journey and you've not been this way before, I actually believe that maybe a mum here, you're pregnant and you're worried about being a mum, get in the presence because you haven't been this way before. And the greatest training that you'll ever have for the next leg of your journey will be in the presence. Holy Spirit, would you help every one of us in our individual lives? And I start with me to value your presence, to be daily conscious that you fill us every day with your Holy Spirit, your presence. Every one of us, help us to never take for granted your presence, to be thankful for the work that you've done in our lives, to be thankful for the journey that you've taken us on as churches, as individuals, the benefits even of technology. May we never take for granted the privilege of your presence. And would you guide us, strengthen us, give us the wisdom to fight our battles, the answers, the breakthrough, the access to your power, your provision, and your principles. Would you bless us with an increased awareness of the value of your presence and the price that has been paid for us to enjoy it today. In Jesus' name, amen.